plate a potential nugget.
And once again, similar to the question I asked when you joined banking, having done private equity for a while, again, what are the misconceptions you see at the point of entry when people get into this profession? What questions should they ask themselves before they take the plunge?
You know, like anything else, this is an apprenticeship business. It takes time to learn it. I realized that if I look at my run in private equity, I have a career 1.0 and a career 2.0. And my results in career 1.0 versus my career 2.0 are very different. It takes time to learn the tricks of the trade. I'm a far more better investor now than I was in my early days. It takes you a lot of time to understand the tools. And you need to work with people who have done it earlier, get to a stage where you really, gain the confidence, and are able to avoid making mistakes. You can always, learn the hard way and make the mistakes yourself. Or you can basically work with, people and let them hold your hand and avoid making the mistakes. So often, I think when I look at it, private equity in India in general, if you look at the history of private equity in India, a lot of mistakes have got made. And I think the reason a lot of mistakes have got made is because a lot of people entered and didn't have the benefit of apprenticeship. And so a lot of mistakes got made. But I think this is the business which requires apprenticeship.
And when you say apprenticeship, just expanding on that, are there one or two sub-themes where you want to shine the spotlight?
Yeah, when I say apprenticeship, I just mean that working with people who have basically seen the movie before and who have, seen how, how the other side acts, behaves, and so what to do and what not to do. And therefore, so you can, when you get in, you can avoid making the same mistakes. And so if you actually, get in and you work alongside with these people for some, period of time, then that helps you avoid, making those mistakes. And you can then gradually, get into your own groove.
And the related theme I'm curious about, Amit, is the mindset shift that people need to make when they come from one domain to another.
Yeah.
Bain Capital, for example, you have people from consulting firms like McKinsey.
Yes.
And you have prior bankers like yourself. What's the, in your mind, not so much the skill set shift, but the mindset shift, what's the shift that people often struggle to make, or what's the bridge they need to cross to become effective at private equity?
Yeah. So I think the shift that people need to often make is one of, you ultimately have to act. So often when you come from a consulting bias, you will have analysis paralysis. And so your bias may be to not act. If you come from a banking area, you may have a tendency to act very quickly. So you may have different sets of biases in the same firm. And the question is, how do you actually come up with the right answer? The right answer is to act at the right point of time. And that's where committee processes become very valuable.
And what is the feedback process work? How does it work in a system where you probably get the feedback on an investment over maybe a 5 or a 7 year cycle?
Yeah.
So with that sort of a lag in feedback, how do you get better, as you go through the journey?
Yeah, that's what I think. If you look at it, most investors in this business actually mature and keep getting better over time. This is a business, which is what I said, this is an apprenticeship business. You know, in any apprenticeship business, apprentice gets better over time and then gets the next person who becomes his or her apprentice and starts getting that person better over time. Essentially, if you look at it in this business, you essentially come in and it's fine. You may make mistakes in the initial years, but as long as those mistakes were small dollars, you're okay. And then you kind of, you know, get the right to increase, enhance your bets, and you keep getting better over time. Actually, what happens is, because careers here in this business can be quite long, you find people actually having really long tenures with great track records. So most of our partners are people who have, you know, 10, 15, sometimes even longer years of investing with like awesome track records.
And just going back to the point you made, Amit, about Amit Investor 1.0 and Amit Investor 2.0, what have been the biggest shifts in that transition from the 1.0 to 2.0? What has changed in you?
I think one is simply you learn from a strategy point of view. You analyze, strategically you look at what works and what doesn't work. And so you start evolving your strategic frameworks better. Okay. And that becomes very helpful. So you say, okay, this strategic framework doesn't work, this strategic framework works. And so you make better strategic bets. The second is you start understanding, you know, people better. So you said these kind of people bets don't work. These kind of people bets work, right? So I think, and that is what in some ways investing is all about. It's about, you know, combining those two things. It's a combination of making the right kind of people bets overlaid with the right kind of strategic frameworks. When you bring those two things together, you actually are able to make great investments. Of course, and the third is timing. It's about doing all these things at broadly the right time. So you start also, it is like cricket a little bit. You know, the same shot played 1 second earlier or 1 second late can get you very different results. So you basically start improving your timing as well.
Having spent a reasonable amount of time in two apprenticeship-driven cultures, McKinsey and Egon Zehnder, I couldn't agree more to the point Amit makes about handholding people and helping them scale up. Apart from getting high-caliber people in through the door, the real piece to solve often is how do I create an apprenticeship culture so that it pervades through the organization and it's not something that's confined to the leader at the top. A quick commentary about Egon Zehnder, where I spent 6 years before I started Transition Advisory. Egon Zehnder's culture and compensation model have been studied over the years, including a Harvard Business School case. The compensation model is based on a global profit pool and has a heavy element of you getting more as you spend more time with the firm. And it actually goes against the grain of the usual eat what you kill structure in most of the search firms. But this mirrors the point that Amit just made, that in a profession where apprenticeship is the critical competitive advantage over the long run, the incentive structure should mirror the dynamic in terms of fostering the right collaboration culture and in retaining the people who've gone up the learning curve. Thank you for listening. If you find the content purposeful and want to be updated whenever we upload new content, please sign up for the newsletter at playtopotential.com. If you're new to the podcast and want to get a sense of the nature of content that is covered, you might want to go to YouTube and type Play to Potential Highlights from 2017. I've tried to capture the key takeaways from our various conversations last year with leaders across disciplines, from people such as Zia Modi, Nanda Nilekani, Vishy Anand, Vijay Amritraj, Rama Bijapurkar, Amish Tripathi, Vinita Bali and the like. For more, please visit playtopotential.com, where the content is organized by nuggets and they're tagged by themes so that you could get perspectives from multiple individuals on a topic you care about. If you want to listen offline, say during a car ride home or during airplane travel, you could also access the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Savan, or wherever else you get your podcast. If you find the content purposeful, please go to iTunes, rate the show and share a review. It will help others discover it.